calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. And welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Emilio Danello, Nina Bass, and James Dalton calling us all the way from Australia. James, hopefully will be joining us shortly. In this episode, we will be discussing the 2-1 victory for Fulham against Blackburn at Craven Cottage earlier today. I look forward to going through this match with my co-host. Like I said, James will be joining us shortly, but we do have a unique situation because I do have Emilio and Nina on the line. They are together. They have called in together. So, guys, how you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Russ.
Good.
Hi, Russ. We just thought we'd do something a little bit unique. Thankfully, we were able to co-host on a show with after a 2-1 victory against Blackburn. And, we're also celebrating Nina's birthday. So I want to wish her in front of all our global audience a very happy birthday to the lovely Nina.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Nina. It's not every day you turn 31, so fantastic. Happy birthday.
21, Russ, not 31.
21, I'm sorry, 21.
No, that is pushing it.
Okay, and guys, it looks like we do have our other co-host on the line. I'm going to bring him on. All the way from Australia, Mr. Dalton, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, James. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much. It's good that we finally got a win at Craven Cottage. Barely.
James, I feel the exact same way. We're going to go through the barely part because it did feel that way. But it is 3 points, regardless of how it happened. It is 3 points. But just so you know, on the line with us is Emilio and Nina.
Hello.
Hi, James. Hi, Nina. Hey, Emilio. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, we're just celebrating Nina's birthday as well after winning the game today. We hung on for dear life, but it's I'm going to reflect on the positives rather than so much on the negatives. But
yes.
Looking forward to doing the show with you, James. So good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, we're all extremes. You're over in Australia. Russ is over in the US, and Emilio and I are right here together in Fulham, London. So there's a nice synergy.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's actually a pretty unique situation that we could do it all over the globe and do this show and talk about this match. We do have an hour. Again, right now, a little over 56 minutes. So we have plenty to get through. And Emilio and Nina, I'll start with you guys. Emilio, I'll start with you. Just share with me your opening thoughts and then hand it over to Nina.
Sure. Okay. And so it was a fairly nice sunny day, lunchtime, early kickoff. And, we're all expecting a win and continue the momentum from the Rotherham game. And, we hit the ground running right from the word off. We had a lot of good movement, good energy. The formation was what I've expected. There was no surprises with the starting 11, to be honest. So I agree with David there. So it's a very expected team lineup. But we were in fifth gear right from the off. Movement, good touches, good passing, 2-0 up. And to be honest, we were cruising. I didn't see anything other than a Fulham victory. But after about 30 minutes, we sort of took our foot off the gas somewhat. We allowed Blackburn to have a bit more possession, get back into the game, and Lonergan made a great save at half-time to keep us at 2-0. But second half was a completely different performance. It was a game of two halves, as the old saying goes. And very disappointed, the outcome. Yeah, the outcome we got the win, the 3 points. But could have been a lot worse. We didn't deserve a win today over the whole 90 minutes. And unfortunately, there were a lot of things that we need to reflect on during the show. But, considering the first 30 minutes, great. Best I've seen Fulham play for quite some time. But the remaining 60 minutes is back to square one, back to what we're used to seeing week in, week out. So, we've got interesting to see what, you guys have watched the video or obviously watched the game live, so it'll be interesting to see your thoughts. But I'll pass you over to Nina now and see what her thoughts are as well.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, the first 20 minutes, we were all pinching ourselves. This is like, well, we were saying this is like a completely new team. And in fact, it is a completely new team. I realised such a new team from, a year ago. But it actually worked. And there was an energy, there was a kind of a passion about them. And then we watched it kind of tail off a little bit in the second bit of the first half. And then, as Emilio says, it was like a sort of, I don't know what happened to the team talk. It was kind of almost, it must have been some kind of a negative team talk. I just don't know. Maybe they just, just didn't have a team talk because they were quite complacent because they were 2-0 up. I don't know. But they came on and the energy seemed to have gone. And apart from Lonergan, who seemed pretty consistent with his energy all the way through. And it was just like a completely different match. So I think overall, there were some positives. We did get a win. A lot of people on the walk there, I was walking with a lot of the supporters, they were all saying, I think it's going to be 2-1 to Fulham. So a lot of people got that absolutely spot on, strangely. And I just feel that a lot of positives. We got 3 points, but I really wonder why, in the space of just 20 minutes, you know, how a team can completely change in their attitude. I just don't understand it.
Listen, it's a great point there, and you guys both saw it. And again, we'll go through it, and we could share what we think happened there. I think maybe there was a tactical change that possibly went on down there in the second half. I'll just say that for some reason, Fulham were more negative in the second half. That's my opinion. I don't know it for a fact, but it just seemed like they were sitting back a little bit more. And I think when you do that, when you let teams come on you, I think you're asking for trouble. And I think that's what we saw. But we also saw that late in the first half as well. But I think that had more to do with Blackburn. Blackburn were getting into the match. And we have to give them credit, too, because I thought Blackburn played very well. And they're going to probably be looking at this and say, well, not only should we have gotten a point out of it, we should have won the match. They created so many opportunities, so many scoring chances. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we go through the stats. But, you know, in the end, I do put a little blame on Fulham as well, because for whatever reason, they can't put together 90 minutes. And we need them to put together 90 minutes. But on the positive, guys, I think you saw the potential that Fulham can be in the first 30 minutes, if that makes any sense. You know, it's kind of like I'm split in two halves. I see the positives, but unfortunately, I also see the negatives. And it's a little concerning. But I do think that the positives outweigh the negatives, partially because you got all 3 points, but also you could see where this team can go. It's just a matter of putting it all together. James, over to you. Share your thoughts on the match.
Yeah, look, it was the first 20 minutes, the same as what Millie and Nina said, was outstanding. Some of the ball movement was quick. It was fast. The link up between Moussa Dembélé and Ross McCormack was so delightful to see. It was the first time we've seen our two front men working together, probably the best we've seen all season. Here's some interesting facts for you guys. A year ago, or last September, Simon's first game was against Blackburn, and the only player playing today in that game was only Ross McCormack. So it shows you how much our team has changed since the last time we played Blackburn at Craven Cottage. So it was exciting to see the team come out, but I don't know what the negative tactics was at halftime. We were very deep. Our midfield was it disappeared in the second half. We Tunnicliffe and O'Hara couldn't get the ball. They were sitting back. We were missing basically every time Blackburn put a ball up into the box, we were missing every header, majority of headers from our defenders. So, yeah, everything, we just seemed to go on the back foot, and we almost became old Fulham again. So it was edge of your seat stuff. But that first 30 minutes, like you said, Russ, was exciting. We looked like a new, fresh team,
right,
but we just went back into our old mold.
You know what, James, I think you really nailed it. I think all of you guys have nailed it. And I'm just going to go back to you, because one of the things that, again, we were listening to the broadcast, that the broadcaster mentioned in the second half, Ross McCormack went hiding. You know, you didn't see Ross McCormack that much in the second half. And that's what made me think, okay, why is he gone anonymous in the second half? And James, I think you nailed it. I think for whatever reason, we started sitting deeper. And, we were not being as aggressive as we were in the first half. We weren't taking the match to Blackburn like we did in those first early stages. Blackburn were taking it to us, and we were reacting to it. And I think it backfired. Again, we were holding on for dear life at the end. And, again, when you watch the replay and you see the clearing of Jamie O'Hara, you'll see that clearly that was a goal. It should have been a goal. You know, again, Fulham were fortunate that there's no goal line technology, honestly. because if there was goal line technology, that would have been reversed and the goal would have counted. But regardless, you know, when you think about that whole situation, James, and then Nina and Emilio, I'll go back to you. I just, you know, again, when I look at this tale of two halves and I just think, what is going on? Why are we playing so negative in the second half? Again, this is my opinion. I don't know what was said to the team, but for whatever reason, they just kept getting deeper and deeper, James. And Ross McCormick, like I said, the analysis that became anonymous.
Well, you know, about 5 minutes into the second half, I tweeted that it seems like there was some tactics or discussion that took place at halftime where there's going to be a change in approach and change in strategy. And, you know, and my view was, I'm not saying I heard any evidence of that happening, but it was very clear after 3 or 4 minutes of that first half that we were not intent on playing with the same level of energy that we had in the first half hour of the game. And to me, there was a strategy from Kit Simons to sort of hold possession, sit back, defend, absorb the pressure, and maybe try to catch Blackburn on the break because they've obviously got their frailties in defence. But it was very clear to me after 5 minutes, and I tweeted it out. So it's, my view is we sat back the whole game, and you know when they scored their well deserved penalty, you know, to go 2-1 behind, we didn't seem to respond. You know, we just literally had no ideas. It was sideways, it was backwards passing. We couldn't have it hold possession. McCormack was anonymous. Again, we always look at our best player on the pitch, to make something happen. He was nowhere to be seen. Dembele was a lone figure up front, did some nice moves, some nice, nice skill with his feet. No one around him. In the first half, he had 3 or 4 players around him to support him. This time around, he was a lonely figure, and he did one bit of skill in the second half, I remember, where he earned the right to have a shot on goal, and the goalkeeper made a good save. But if that would have been in the first half hour of the game, he would have found 2 or 3 men to pass the ball to. Maybe we would have scored a third goal. So we were very negative, very defensive, and, you know, we were lucky to get away with it. On another day, we won't get away with it so easily. And that's a frustration, to be honest.
You don't think the kit was doing some kind of injury damage limitation policy as well? Because maybe going into half time when you're 2-0 up and there's been the two injured players who were out for long term in Smith and Bettinelli, and Richards and Pringle had that coming together just a few days ago, and it was kind of borderline whether they'd be match fit. And I just wonder if maybe, I think this is something that's not actually talked about very much, but I wonder how much pressure are put on managers about injury. So maybe the half-time talk was, you're 2-0 up, you're comfortable, let's do damage limitation here. We don't want anyone else getting sort of injured and being out. And, you know, it seemed to me the Blackburn were quite a big kind of scrappy kind of side. And maybe with that knowledge, there was some kind of negative kind of team talk within those lines. And Kit being a manager and thinking about the long term picture with injuries. And I just wonder if that has something to do with it.
No, that's an interesting take there, Nina. You know, again, when you go in at halftime, you're up 2-0. And I'm thinking about what you're saying, you know, possibly managing the game from even that perspective, but also just try to get through the second half. If his approach was to try to absorb the pressure and try to beat them on the counter, again, I don't know this for sure. We're not, you know, we're not with the team at halftime. I don't know. It just seemed that way. If that was the approach, I disagree with it. Again, when you're up 2-0, we all know that 2-0 is this lead that can change so quickly. You need the third goal. You should be doing everything possible to put the game away and get that third goal. And it just didn't seem like, especially in the beginning of the second half, when Blackburn were coming at us full force, that there was much urgency. I'll use the word urgency. Like you guys are talking about, where was the urgency in the second half to get on the ball, to be aggressive like you were in those first 20 minutes, to get on top of them like they were on top of you? You know, again, that's what gets me to think that was this strategic, to sit back? Because for whatever reason, those first 20 minutes, we were on top of them, guys. I thought we should have been up 3-4-0, honestly. You know, those first 20 minutes were so dominant. So, again, that's why it upsets me to watch, I guess you could say, the last 60 to 70 minutes and go back to form like we have been in the past. James, what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, Russ, I think what Blackburn did, which was very smart, is they made a substitution at halftime. So their intention was we're attacking this game. And I think maybe we all find this a little bit frustrating about Kit is he's very, very slow to react to a change or a need of a change when especially the Fulham are getting pressured in the game. So we did make two substitutions in the end, but there was really a chance there where I felt our midfielder O'Hara or Tanya Cliff were getting tired. They were getting bullied. They really were getting bullied in that second half, and we needed to make a change. We needed probably an LVC to come on around the 65th, 70th minute just to give us an extra energy boost in the middle of that park, and maybe the change, maybe to counter, you know, to give them a bit of a counterpunch against Blackburn. But we just didn't seem to have. We did have a couple of chances, obviously, at goal with Dembele. There was a couple of times on the break, but there was no real counter. There was no real punch in the middle of the field, and Kit just doesn't sometimes. You know, we've got three subs to use, but I've noticed in his last few games he actually doesn't use all three of his subs. And we've got the great players on the bench. We've got Kaká, we've got Woodrow, we've got LVC, we've got these players we can use, but he tends not to use them.
James, it's a wonderful point, and it's actually a point I was going to mention later on the show, but since you brought it up, we might as well talk about it now, because Mike Gregg wanted me to mention this, because Mike is not happy that Kit only used that one substitution. Again, later on, he used the second for Byrne, but he wanted me to mention and ask everyone here, why did Kit not use another substitution? And he mentioned to me LVC for O'Hara. Yeah. Why not bring on someone like LVC? It's a wonderful point. He does make the change, bringing on Fredericks for Pringle and moves Kearney over to the left. But it's a wonderful point by you to bring this up, because I agree with Mike. Why is he not making two changes when again, these guys are getting tired and you need some pace in there right in the middle of the park? Why not bring in someone like Lasse Vigan Christensen? It's a wonderful point by you, James. I'm glad that Mike brought that to my attention. I want to ask Emilio and Nina your thoughts on that. Emilio, first you. What do you think about a possible substitution around the same time as Ryan Fredericks came on?
Yeah, that's very unlike Kit, you know, to make a double substitution at the same time. I think, you know, it felt like maybe we needed to concede at half time instead of Lonergan making a fantastic save to maybe. It would have resulted in a slightly different team talk. I think the fact that we got away with a great save from Lonergan, just staying, you know, with a clean sheet at half time, that maybe he felt that we had enough of a cushion there to protect over the remaining 45 minutes. But he brought on Fredericks, which, you know, I was speaking to Joan, we said it would only be a matter of time before Pringle got taken off, and voila, that happened. He got taken off. Fredericks came on, and I don't think we exploited his pace enough. You know, early on, within 2 minutes, he showed what speed and pace that he had, and we didn't really exploit that for the remaining 25 minutes of the game. And to be honest, could we have brought someone else on? Me and myself and the fans around me did discuss that, but, you know, O'Hara made a stupid rash challenge, which I thought he was lucky to get away with only a yellow card, and maybe that was a signal to take him off, to calm things down, and maybe bring on LVC or another player just to put a bit more control around the midfield. But LVC has had a poor start to the season as well. I know he was on the bench today, and I'm a big fan of his, but you know, he's been dropped to the bench because he's had a very, very indifferent start to the season. He's not been the same player as he was November, December last year. So I don't disagree. We could have made a bit more of a more positive change in that last 15 minutes, try to win, you know, score a third goal, and basically the game will be written off. But we hung on for dear life. And to be honest, you know, the penalty, you know, the clearance off the line, which obviously appears that it did go over the line, hitting the post in the injury time, it just... You know, we all just got away with murder today. And on another day against a Derby or Middlesbrough, a better, more effective team, we won't get away with it. But, you know, I think it was a positive move to put on Fredericks with his pace. But I would maybe like to have seen a little bit more, maybe a Kaká Niklić, maybe. Put a bit of wit, because we were very narrow throughout the game today. And maybe Kaká would have given us a different option to stretch them, especially whilst the Blackburn team were continuously pushing to get an equaliser. So, you know, I'd like to think Kit on another day could have been a little bit more... assertive with his substitutions rather than being very cagey and conservative like he normally does.
Okay, very good. Very good. Nina, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really echo that. I mean, I actually would have taken, controversially probably, I would have taken Dembélé off towards the end, because I think that he had a good match, but I think he was beginning to tire. I know he's only 19, and I would have brought Woodrow on, because he does come on, and he has got a history of coming on scoring quite quickly, and I just feel with that kind of scoreline, I think that might have been quite a good substitution. I agree. I would have taken O'Hara off as well. He is slightly temperamental. You know, he's got a kind of fiery character. He was on a yellow card. As Emilio said, he was lucky not to get a red card. And I just think that might have been another, you know, give LVC, and give him a chance, bring him on, and just stir things up a little bit. So I certainly would have done that. But I think Fredericks was a good substitution. He came on and he injected some energy and some pace. I think that he's, a side of the match. He's been saying some amazing things on social media and on the Fulham website about how excited and honoured he is to come to Fulham. And that kind of, you could tell, he came on all guns blazing. So I think he's one to watch for the future, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Very, very interesting take there, Nina, by all three of you. All right, guys, real quickly, James, I'll start with you. Thoughts on the starting 11?
Yeah, starting 11 I thought was really strong. I was really excited about it. It was fresh. We had we obviously had James' husband back, which was great. Oh, geez, I wish we could buy him. But anyway, that's another story. We had Stearman and Ream come in, so it was very, look, the thoughts were, my first thoughts was, oh wow, Dan Byrne has lost his spot and position now, so seeing him on the bench, a little bit disappointing. I think Dan Byrne's actually, you know, he really plays with his heart on his sleeve, especially the last couple of games, and yeah, having him on the bench is going to be really interesting to try and see how he's going to work his way back into the starting 11. But, you know, it was the same kind of lineup in the middle with O'Hara and Tanya Cliff after the couple of wins that they've had with them in the middle. Ben Pringle found himself back on the... I think he was on a bench the last couple of games, or one of the games he come through. So, look, it was a good starting lineup. I thought it was solid. It was a positive lineup. You know, LVC was on the bench for Tunney. So, look, there's some positions up there. There's going to be a lot of people fighting for their positions against the starting 11, especially when you've got people like Moussa Dembélé getting there. So Woodrow will be, you know, he scored a couple of goals, but he's still on the bench. So it's going to be really, really interesting. But, look, the starting 11, I thought, was probably the strongest team that we could put out.
Okay, very good. Nina, how about your thoughts on the starting 11? Were you happy with the lineup that kicked out today to Craven Cottage?
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah, I agree. I agree with James. I was, you know, it was interesting to see Hudson back. I was quite excited to see Richard Stearman debut, because obviously he's you know, very good caliber defender with some experience. So I was interested and excited to see him for the first time. And I just thought that, yeah, it seemed like the logical choice of players, bearing in mind, you know, a couple of injuries and a couple of people who are not so in form at the moment. So, yeah, I agree. I think it was a good 11.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Emilio. Your thoughts on the starting 11?
Yeah, I was saying at the beginning of the show, I don't think there was any surprises with that. I was glad to see Stearman and Ream given the chance. Obviously, these are supposedly Kit signings, or, you know, influence from Kit. So it's good that they were given their home debuts today. You know, I had some tweets exchanged with Mike Gregg before the game around the Dan Byrne situation. And my view is Dan Byrne's been established at this level for several seasons. And if he was as, you know, if he deserves to be playing week in, week out, he should be playing more effectively, more efficiently, week in, week out. So I'm not disappointed to see him on the bench. It's good to see that Bodrov is out of touch now. He's obviously playing in the reserves and probably going to be sent on loan at some point in the future. And maybe if there's any disappointment, maybe where's Hutchinson? I'm not sure if Hutchinson is back from injury, but if anyone's had a good start to the season other than the Brighton penalty that he gave away. I thought Hutchinson had an excellent start to the season. And he stands ahead of me in terms of Dan Burn and Hutchinson head-to-head in terms of those two players. But overall, Tunnicliffe deserved his starting position after the last game against Rotherham. I'm not his biggest fan, as you know, but you know, I'm happy to accept the fact that he deserved his place. And actually, he had a very good first half. You know, he was in the game. He almost scored from the header from the set for the second goal. He was involved. He was always going one way. But you know, it's unfortunate. The second half, all the players decided to be a little bit more defensive and negative. And it wasn't just Tunnicliffe who suffered. But overall, the first starting 11, no surprises there, in my opinion. It was good to see that Kit was assertive to drop Dan Burn for his two new signings. That was what was quite interesting, to be honest.
Okay, very good. Very interesting there. But all three of you are on the starting 11. And Amelia, listen, you know, you and I have talked a good amount about Ryan Tunnicliffe, and I'll be curious when we talk about, you know, rating the players, your thoughts on him, because I actually thought he played well in this match.
Yeah, agreed. I think certainly first half he had a very good, strong, assertive and determined first half. Second half he was back to his usual self, but then again, I'd also argue many of the other players had a very disappointing second half. But you know, I'll give credit where it's due, and you know, people who know me well enough, you know, if I don't like a particular player, I will still give them the rating they deserve, irrespective of my personal feelings towards them.
Sure. Very good. Very good. All right, guys. Let's just now go through some key moments of the match, and it'll involve the goals and some of the other stuff. So, Nina, I'm going to start with you. I just want to get your thoughts. Again, first 20 minutes, Fulham were playing very well. Let's talk about the opening goal. Just share with me your thoughts about this goal. It was in the fourth minute by Ross McCormack. It was set up by Moussa Dembele, but it initiated with a pass from Ryan Tunnicliffe, as we're just talking about Ryan Tunnicliffe. What do you think about the opening goal by Fulham?
I think it just showed really kind of solid teamwork. I think it just kind of highlighted Ross at his very best. And it just also proved that when Moussa doesn't become too selfish, then what he can do up there. And I think it also kind of shows a newfound kind of chemistry between, I think it's been said earlier, I think Amelia said it earlier, but there's a new chemistry that's emerging between Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembélé, which I think is going to work going forward. I mean, Moussa traditionally has always been the super sub, hasn't he? He's always come in, or most of the time, especially last season, he's always kind of come in later on in the match when other people are tiring. And it's good to actually see him played at the beginning of the match and kept on for the whole match. I mean, I know I said earlier, I'm contradicting myself, I wouldn't have minded him being substituted towards the end, but it is good to see him start. And I just think it was almost like the perfect team goal. Tunnicliffe stunning there in midfield, and it just kind of just brought out the best. And it looked, for that little showcase, we could have been watching a Premiership side. That's how smooth and that's how good that was.
Okay, very good, very good. Like that analysis there, Nina. Okay, Emilio, I'm going to go to you next, but before I do, I just want to mention something. Because again, you know, when we talk about man of the match, I think this epitomizes someone that should be considered. That would be Andy Lonergan, and he had a great save in the 16th minute from a shot by Nathan Delfonso. Again, very good opportunity here by Delfonso. In the 19th minute, Ross McCormack also had another opportunity that just went wide. So again, this is still during Fulham's time where they're really on top. But in the 30th minute, Emilio, Moussa Dembele gets that goal. We're just talking about him. He gets that goal again. There were two shots prior to that. There was a shot by Ryan Tunnicliffe and then a shot by Nina, and it fell to Dembele, and he scored. Talk about the second goal from Fulham.
Again, it was good movement. You know, we were on top at that point. You know, we still had a lot of energy, a lot of flair, and you know, Lonergan did make some good saves to sort of keep the score line at 1-0. But we had a bit of width. You know, great cross in from I think it was Richards to McCormack. McCormack whipped in a good cross, good header from Tunnicliffe on target. Goalkeeper made a very good save. The ball came back into the 6-yard box. Kearney took a first time shot. It sort of hit, I think, the chest of the goalkeeper, and then Mr. Composure, Mr. Moussa Dembele, just put the ball in the top of the net and did what his best. You know, that's his best position. You know, that's where he's dangerous. Throughout the first 30 minutes of the game, he was stretching their defence. It was great to see him score that goal. That will boost his confidence. I know he scored against Sheffield United in the Cup a couple of weeks ago, but scoring in a league game to go 2-0 up, that will boost his confidence. And I think, like Nina said, there's a chemistry being built there between McCormack and Dembele. And like I said with Darren Bent 2 years ago, I know I keep going on about this, and Dembele now, give him the ball where he's most effective, in that six-yard box. He will be there to pick up the loose balls and bang them in the back of the net. He can stretch defences with his, down the channels. He's a very lethal striker. I know his goal ratio to opportunities could be better. He's 19, for goodness sake. And this guy, we need to breed him. We need to keep him. And he's our future. If we want to start scoring 25 goals a season from a centre-forward, and Ross McCormack scoring another 20 goals, if we get two forwards who can score 35 to 40 goals each, we will get promoted with that type of team, irrespective of how many goals we leak. So I'm very pleased to see Dembele starting the games. It's 12 months ago I was banging on about him being given more chances. This is his opportunity. It was a good finish, composed finish. It was an easy finish, but the fact that the goalkeeper did his best to save two opportunities from Tunnicliffe and Kearney, but Dembele gave him no chance, banging back at the top of the net, and it was 2-0 to Fulham. But like I said, that will boost his confidence significantly, and I just hope he takes that forward to the next game next weekend.
You know what? It's funny, Emilio, because I was talking to David on the prior show, talking about, it would be great if Moussa Dembele scored a couple goals, because I think he could go on a run. I think we're seeing a player who's really starting to emerge. It's more than just that goal. It's the movement. It was his play. I think Moussa Dembele is ready to take the step and really become, a really good striker in this league. And I've really been thinking about this. Fulham need to do what they can right now. And I'll say it right now. They need to pony up the money and get him to sign that new deal, because he's on the last year of it still. He's really coming into his own. And, I think we really saw that in this match. And I think he's only going to get better. So, I'm happy that we can talk about Moussa Dembele. And I know many fans have him as their man of the match. And we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, James, go ahead, Amelia.
One thing I was just going to add there again is it's really him and Dembele and Woodrow are two different players, both centre-forwards. Both have got their strengths and weaknesses. But if I was given head-to-head, who would I choose week in, week out? I've said this for 12 months. Moussa Dembele at all times. Yeah. Moussa Dembele will score you more goals.
Same as me, Amelia.
Woodrow's a different player. Different, yeah. Will stretch them in slightly different ways. But Woodrow does not score enough goals for me. But if I had a choice of either or, not both, either or, Dembele, 9 times out of 10, I would pick
him. But Woodrow is a good sub.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, listen, guys, and Emilio, I agree with you. I think Moussa Dembele should be one of your starting strikers moving forward. I completely agree with that. I think the more he plays, the more goals he's going to score. I do understand the Darren Bent comparison, where Darren Bent was really at his peak. I get that. I see that. That's why I agree with you on that. And nothing against Colley Woodrow. Nina just brought it up. I think Colley Woodrow is great coming off the bench. Super sub. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Colley Woodrow. I would right now, this season, I would pick Moussa Dembele right now. And I only think he's going to get better. All right, guys, let's move on. And James, want to go over to you because, again, finish off the half talking about the play of Andy Lonergan, because he had two key saves, one in the 40th minute, but the real good one was in the 43rd minute. And honestly, if he doesn't make this save, maybe the game is completely different. Talk about these two saves, but also just in general, the play of Andy Lonergan.
Yeah, Andy Lonergan, he really saved us, obviously, today. He's listen to this. He really is our second choice keeper after Benton Early. So it's really amazing that we really seem to lately have some good quality keepers, and especially having someone who's our second choice keeper. But he is good. He is championship quality. And he actually did a really good save, Russ, actually in the 15th minute when we were kind of dominating the game.
That's right.
There was a couple of lazy defending by, I think it was Tim Ream, where they did a through ball between him and Husband. And there was a good shot across goal, which I think, you know, especially when he hadn't touched the ball for the first 15 minutes, he had to make quite a good diving side save to his right-hand side. So there was really in the first 15 minutes he did a quick save, but I think we kind of forgot about that because of how well we're playing for the rest of the next for the first half an hour. But yeah, the 31st minute, that was a great reflexing save down onto his right. To all money, our defence turned into statues. The ball came across. Was it Rhodes who did the header, Russ?
What was that?
Was it Rhodes who did the header for the shot that he had to do the save for Lonergan? I think it was.
In the fourth, yeah. I'm trying to remember, but the shot.
Yeah, the 31st minute was the big save.
Was Marshall?
Yeah. So the 31st, it was a fantastic save. You know, you could see Stearman; he was absolutely pumped on the TV. He was screaming in Lonergan's face, saying, "Come on, everyone!" And you could see, you know, we had a little bit of pressure, and it was good. It's like, and I've just had to remind myself: is that really this is the first time all these four defenders and our goalkeeper played together? So
exactly.
I had to remind myself
I'm glad that
as
you
well.
Brought, James, I'm glad that you brought that up because, again, I think that's a factor here. I was going back and forth on Skype with our Cottage Talk co-host, David Howley. He was talking about the play of the two center backs, and he has every right to say, you know what, they weren't the best in this match. And I'm not going to disagree with David on that. But here's the thing. It was the first time they played together. You got to give these guys a chance.
Yeah, it was their first time, and you could see that those in positioning, especially on TV, they were like both Tim Ream and Stearman. There was miles between them sometimes, and I could see Andy Lonergan just screaming at them, saying, "Guys, you need to pull together. You need to get together." But look, he did some fantastic saves, and also in the second half as well. But really, he kept us in the game, and he kept it at 2-0. Which I was really couldn't wait for that halftime whistle.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And to be fair to David, because David and I were messaging, he was also excited because David, you did. You got a great deal right. He predicted 2-1, so congratulations. So David also got the starting 11. David got many things right. So I want to give him praise. David, you know, again, just so you know, because I know you'll be listening back, you know, again, I just wanted to point out, you know, messaging back and forth that these guys are new and just give them some time. Give them some time. Just give these guys a chance. That was my only point when you and I were messaging back and forth. All right, guys, let's now move to the second half. And as we talked about as we're going through this, Blackburn definitely were on the front foot. They were looking for goals. They were down 2-0. They were not playing like a team at the bottom of the table. Jordan Rhodes had several chances to score. Moussa Dembele actually had a couple of chances as well. But the second half really started out with more pressure from Blackburn. And again, Andy Lonergan came in and he saved Jordan Rhodes, and Lonergan had to make a few saves. But now let's move, Emilio. I'm going to go to you. I want to ask your thoughts on this. I don't know if you got a good view of this. But in the 68th minute, you know, again, Blackburn were given the penalty on a foul by James Husband. And I've seen the replay of this a few times. It definitely was a foul. I believe Kit, after the match, I would have to go back and read what he said. But I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he, I think he had a little question about it, that it might have been a little soft. But I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think that this should have been called? I actually think it should have been called.
Unfortunately, from where I was sat, it looked at the other end of the pitch. First reaction for me was it was a penalty. You know, I actually thought it was Stearman rather than Husband, but it looked clumsy from where I sat. You know, again, I'm hearing some mixed views on Twitter. It was a bit of a soft penalty, but the foul was committed. And there was two defenders around the Jordan Rhodes, and it looked a little bit clumsy in my opinion. And you know, whether it's clumsy or not, you know, if it's clumsy, it's a penalty, you know, in the story. Yeah. You know, and you know, just it was disappointing to give that penalty away, but it was nothing less than Blackburn deserved. And had they had better finishing, you know, that might have been an equaliser, or possibly to go up 3-2 up, because it, at that point, you know, they were quite wasteful, let's be honest. I think on another day a team not as wasteful would have actually gone, had already had a couple goals on the board. So that was the least they deserved. But it was just, for me, it looked a penalty. But you know, I'm sure the replays will suggest that. But if you've seen the replays, Russ, and
yep,
it was a penalty, albeit it might be a touch soft. If there was contact in the penalty area when the ball was being lofted to their main striker, then no disrespect, it's a penalty.
Okay, very good. James, I was just about to ask you, you've seen the replay. I thought it was a penalty. You agree with me then?
Yeah, Amelia was straight on. It was very, very clumsy. It was definitely a penalty every day of the week. It was clumsy,
okay,
and yeah, the ball shouldn't have got there. It should have been. We should have been on our man the whole time there.
Okay, so very good. Nina,
guys, as well. I was just going to say that was clumsy, but even the lead up to the goal. Oh, sorry, the Lonergan save at half time. I just saw again there was so much space on the wide out from the Blackburn players that they allowed a cross to get into the penalty area, the header into the 6-yard box, and Lonergan made a great save. But we were a bit slack in defending there. We should have been given the opposition so much space to get across into the box. And again, the same thing here. You can't, at the end of the day, you can't be sort of naive when it comes to defending. And at the end of the day, Lonergan was given a bollocking to his defenders throughout most of the game. And again, he'll be upset the fact that there was a clumsy foul on their pivotal striker. Very disappointing. No, but
no, I was going to say, Emilio, I want to second the defending on crosses, because again, I think it was poor, I think that's something that they need to work on, because it's a problem. They exposed Lonergan a great deal. Again, defending wasn't the greatest today. Let's be honest here. He was under siege for that second half, and those crosses in the box were getting in there too easily, Amelia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, he dealt with them on the whole pretty well, but unnecessarily so. That's the problem.
Right, that's my point. Right.
Unnecessary pressure throughout the game, and he had to earn his wages today, put it that way. Mm-hmm.
He did. But again, that's why I wanted to go back and talk about this, because again, you want to give Blackburn a good amount of credit. I do, because again, they played much better in the second half and were the better team in the second half. But I do put a good part of the blame on the defending by Fulham, and the crosses is a great way just to look at it, to look at the pressure that, like you said, possibly not needed pressure, because of not closing down quickly enough or not getting on top of these players to let these crosses come in so easily. So again, that's part of the reason why I like doing the show, because we could talk about these different things. All right, Nina, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to give you the honors. We're going to talk about the play. I don't know if, again, I'm not sure where you sit. Did you get a view of the Jamie O'Hara situation in the 84th minute? He apparently cleared the ball off the line, but replay showed that the ball was definitely over the line. What was going through your mind when you heard this or saw it?
Do you mean the goal? The yellow card?
No, later on in the match, there was a...
Do you mean the goal that wasn't a goal? The goal that wasn't
yes.
a goal?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I meant that. Sorry. Well, we've had an opportunity to come back and have a look at it, Emilio and I. We because obviously the match was on Sky today. So we recorded it and we popped back and we had a look. And it seems as though the ball did go over the line, yes. but Jamie O'Hara, let's just say he was standing in the right place at the right time. And it all happened very quickly. And I think that Jamie is a lucky man on several counts today. And I think that Fulham are a lucky team today as well.
Well,
and goal
let me ask,
technology would have sorted it.
Right. Well, let me ask both of you. Again, there was a situation that again, the announcers were talking about. So I want to get your thoughts. Emilio, I'll ask you, well, all three of you. First of all, Emilio, should Jamie O'Hara possibly gotten a red card at some point?
Yeah, literally right in front of me. I said it from the off to Joe next to me, saying, that's a red card. I saw a little incident a few minutes earlier where he actually got a nasty little foul that he sort of got away with about a few minutes earlier. And this was like a follow-up. Like it typically happens. You've got something on your head and something you want to get revenge on someone, you're going to go in. We just saw the replay actually here at Nina's on Sky Sports, and we could see from nowhere, unnecessary, Jamie Harrow went in with a full pace, intent to sort of hurt, in my opinion. And that's what he's capable of doing. He's capable of doing the very good Danny Murphy equivalent type of passes, good visibility, good distribution, keeping the ball moving around, but he's also capable of doing those sort of naive, stupid type of fouls. And from nowhere, in a very non-dangerous position, he put ourselves under unnecessary pressure. And I said it, the fact that there was afters from the Blackburn players took the gloss off the actual foul. And if there was no reaction, O'Hara would have got a straight red, in my opinion. But he patted the referee on his shoulder to say, thank you very much, mate. You know, you've done me a favour, and I've got away with not only getting a yellow card, but on another day, he should have got a red, and we got away with it. I think that if you actually look at the sequence of movement, there was a foul 2 or 3 minutes earlier that he got away with. He then was 40 miles an hour intent to do hurt rather than actually getting the ball. On another day, he wouldn't have been so lucky. So in my opinion, he should have got a red card.
Okay, very good. Nina, do you agree with Emilio on that?
100%. Now, his face said it all on TV when we watched it after, that he just looked relieved and slightly smug, actually. So I think he knew as well that he was a lucky man.
Okay, very good. James, you've seen it on replay. I've seen it on replay. I think he should have gotten a red card. How about you?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think we all agree on that. I think he had malice. Yeah, he had malice when he went in for the challenge, and yeah, it should have been a red. I guess if it was especially knowing how many red cards and how many red cards the championship referees give, I was really surprised he didn't get one personally. So,
okay.
Especially in the championship.
Yeah. You know, again, I hope the show, you know, I'm just thinking about it as we're going through the show. We're you know, again, we are being a little bit negative here, but again, I want to say we're just being critical because we see the potential that Fulham have, guys. I think all of us do. I see the potential that they have, and that's why I'm being kind of hard on them in this match. And I think they deserve it because I think that they were lucky to get this victory. Sometimes you need a bit of luck. Maybe we deserve some luck. So you get all 3 points. But again, I've been thinking about the tone of this show. It does feel like we've lost, but you know what? It's only because we expect better from Fulham. I expect better from them. I want better from them. I want 90 minutes of what we saw for 20 minutes. I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. So people that think that I'm a pretty positive person, I am. But I'm not, you know, again, this is one of these rare instances that I'm actually not, I'm not angry that they won. I know that sounds strange, but I'm just disappointed with how they got the victory. I know that sounds strange to say, but I expect more. I expect better. What I saw in the 20 minutes, it's like, why can't you do that for 90 minutes? So if I'm coming off as being very negative, I apologize to the listeners. I want Fulham to get promoted. I see the potential there to be a top six team. I think that's what's frustrating me because I saw a top six team in the first 20 to 30 minutes. And then I saw a team that we've seen before and a team that will be mid-table. I don't want mid-table. I want top six. Sorry, guys. I went off on a little bit of a rant. I apologize.
Russ, can I add something to that?
Go ahead, James.
I think the reason why you're so passionate about that is because we're very inconsistent. So at the start of the show, you said we could have easily really – we could have really went on to that. That game could have been a very easy, you know, Craven Cottage home match, Fulham beat Blackburn 4-0. That's my point. Yep. And the game should have been, and I think it was almost like we've forgotten how to dominate a game and win a decent game 4-0, 5-0. I think we've forgotten how to do that and just dominate the game, 60% possession, you know, 25 shots on goal, just a dominance, good performance. And I think we haven't seen it for so long, but we've got the team to do it. And that's what's really, I think it's a little bit frustrating. And especially as well, if this was an away game, we kind of would have probably been a little bit more happy with the result. But it was another home match. And if we're going to make Craven Cottage a fortress, we've got to just dominate games. And really, let's be honest, Black, if you, I think you, if we look at the stats, I think you'll do that at the end of the show. But the stats were, I think Blackburn had like 25 plus shots on goal at home.
Yeah, they had, again, if why don't I just segue talking about the stats, because I think the stats will tell you that. Total shots, they had 23. They had 9 on target. Fulham also had 9 on target. We only had 16 shots. Possession, this is interesting. They had 51-49, so it's pretty even. You know, if you look at it, key passes, they had 15-13 crosses. This is the one that really sticks out, guys. 28 crosses to 15, and like you guys watched, and of course James and I watched at home, many of those crosses were very dangerous and caused problems. And that is something that is worrying me, you know, defensively worrying me. But yes, James, to go back to what you're saying, I'm passionate about this because this is a team Fulham should have beaten 4-5-0. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Yep. They should have.
Oh, I totally agree.
And that's what frustrates me. And Emilio and Nina, I'm sorry I've gone off on this little rant, but I'm frustrated. Do you feel why I'm frustrated, Emilio?
Absolutely. I think it's, let's be honest. Where we were last season, we've now moved forward. We've got, like James mentioned earlier, only one player from his corresponding fixture last year started today, literally 12 months to the day. So the fact that we've got a new team, they need time to gel. I think we shouldn't overreact either. I'm always the optimist here in terms of staying positive all around. And yeah, we've won. Yeah. We've got 3 points. There's definitely signs of encouragement. These players will start to play more often amongst each other. They'll get a better relationship between Stearman and Ream. Bunde Dembele, very good rapport throughout the game. So there are definitely some positives there. And I just think we can start to iron out some of those weaknesses, those negativities. Then some of these...
Okay, James, we lost Emilio's connection, which is okay, but hey... At least we're still going on, so Emilio and Nina hopefully will join us back. But again, I was just thinking about the tone of me, just myself, again, because me, James, I'm usually a pretty positive person.
Oh, and I wanna very go, positive.
And I want to go off on what Emilio said. We should be encouraged by certain things because, again, I see the potential that this team has, and I think that's where my frustration lies. I see where this team can go. I see the potential. If I didn't see the potential, I think I would be, okay, well, we got a victory. We're going to be mid-table. This is a team that potentially could be promoted. I'm going to say it right now. But again, they need to grow. They need time to gel and bring it all together. They have things to work on. But again, I think that's where my frustration lies. I see it. And I just want better, James.
No, and I agree, Russ. And I think now with this team, now that it's the team that Kit's chosen and the window's shut, I think that let's give it to, in my mind, I'm giving it to 15 game weeks. So up to 15 games and to really see where we are. And if we really want to challenge and we all believe that we want to get promoted, we need to be seeing where we are on around the 15 game mark. So in another, 9 to 10 games time will be very interesting. To see, where Fulham Football Club's going to be.
No, listen, I agree. And, and again, I was just thinking while we're doing this, I've just been like, not myself. You know me. I'm usually Mr. Positive. And here I am. I'm ripping them after victory. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? But I realized that it's actually coming from a place that, that just wants better performance and sees what it could be. But I agree with you. I think we need to give these players time. I can see the center back pairing working out real well. I can see the fullbacks. We're going to get Luke Garbutt back hopefully soon. And we have options at right back. I can see that all coming together. And Andy Lonergan, I think, has been a bright light so far. So there are positives. And yes, we did point out Jamie O'Hara's bad things he did today, but again, he also has some positive play, and he's been very good this season overall.
He was class in the first half, actually. Russ, he was fantastic in the first half, and it just goes to show. I was thinking to myself, how lucky are we got him on a free in that first half? That's what I was thinking the whole game. So even though I believe he was tired and he did a reckless challenge, he was class in the pitch. You would definitely have him on the pitch.
No, listen, I totally agree with you. And when I think of, you know, again, I'm glad that you brought up the fact that he's a freak, because I believe it was Mike Gregg who tweeted it. Just think about this. Think about this. We got Ben Pringle, Andy Long, and Jamie O'Hara all on free. And yeah. That to me, think about that. I, you know, again, others might think that that's not great. Why are you bringing in free transfers? I see it as good business, especially when these players could be an integral part of your team. You have three players that are making impacts right now, and I'll include Pringle. You know, again, it hasn't been perfect for him, but I think he's only going to get better in time. I think you have, you know, again, you have three players that have made a difference, and you got them for nothing. You're just paying their wages. And
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
To me, is James. Okay, I'm not hearing anyone else.
Hello. We're back on.
Emilio, are you with me?
We are. Can you hear about that? The line just cut off.
Yeah, it's very strange because James just got cut off. It's a great it's a great way to end the show, I guess. But you guys can hear me.
We can hear you now. So I think it was a technical issue with Direct Connect again.
Okay, not a problem. We only have about 3 minutes left. So let me quickly get your man of the match, you and Nina. Okay, I'm not hearing you.
So what you said, Ross. Did you say man
yep.
of the match?
Yes.
Okay, can I start? Yeah, can you hear
yeah.
me?
Yeah,
Lonigan.
I can hear you.
Lonigan, the man of the match, Lonigan, 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I thought he was absolutely phenomenal today, and I think I'm very sad about Bettinelli's injury, but I think we have got a really amazing top draw keeper, and I'm inspired to watch him, everything about him. Brilliant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You have Lonigan. Guys, we only have a little over 90 seconds. Emilio, who's your man of the match?
Lonigan was a close second, but I'm going to give it to Moussa Dembele. You know, scored a goal, stretched their defence for certainly the first half. Good trickery, good movement, good linked-up play with McCormack. And to be honest, it wasn't for Lonigan, you know, some sort of errors that he got away with second half with when he came out from his line, didn't punch yep. the ball away, flapped at a few crosses. I would have given it to Lonigan, but I think it was a very close second. I gave 8.5 to Moussa and 8 to Lonigan.
Okay. James, real quick, we got just about a minute left.
Yeah,
who's
really
your man
quickly, I'll give it to Moussa Dembele for me. I give him 8. I thought he was great. I think we're seeing someone who, if we do get in the Premier League, he's going to be definitely a Premier League player in the future.
Okay, very, very good. Unfortunately, I don't have time to go through the full supporters have to say, so I'll just leave it with me. Nina, I'm going to agree with you. It'll be me and you. I'm going to say Andy Lonigan, so you and I say Andy Lonigan, and James and Emilio say Moussa Dembele. I think you can go either way on Man of the Match. Great show, guys. I want to thank you all for doing this with me. And just about to wrap this up for Emilio, Nina, and James, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Thank you,
Russ.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Boys and girls.